And we're live. Welcome to the first ever episode of Winning Mood. This is short, sharp, strongest super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead and tonight, in fact, the season ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn. I'm from the Tripod. We've done seven seasons, seven straight years and counting of free winning tips. The man beside me is Tim Moody, the 2021 Australian Supercoach Champion. Now, we're both diehard NRL fans, but I've actually never played Supercoach before, and that is actually the idea behind this new short pod. It's who better, than, could I ask, than the absolute king of Supercoach to guide me through my first season. So that means this show is going to appeal to people who are beginner, novice level, and I'm very honoured to be joined by Tim. Mate, what are you looking forward to most about the new show?
Oh, mate, I'm just really pumped to just be able to have a platform to help out novices and new people to the game. Obviously, also to pick your mind as well for learning how to, you know, win at punting, because that's something I certainly struggle with as a novice. I've spent a lot of time sort of on a lot of other podcasts and hours of researching, so I'll try to do what I can do to bring that into a concise sort of key information for you guys, so you can take home what you need to in without having to do a lot of homework yourself.
Yeah, we both put in a lot of work. I put a lot of work to try and find the best punting tips. You put a lot of work into your super coach. So this show is like, the style is two friends. We're catching up, but we have only got 15-minute coffee break once a week. We're trying to compare notes. So it's going to be fast and furious, but hopefully we can give you guys a lot of information because it's going to be so fast. So please excuse us. We're not going to go in-depth into anything. We're just trying to try and share as much info as we can. We can just about get into it. We're going to do a Q&A tonight. But you want to just take care of a bit of admin there, Timmy?
Yes, sweet. I was having trouble trying to share it quick enough, man, to be fair. I'm the worst on computers. But look, I was just going to say, I'm pretty pumped that you've let me know that we're giving away jerseys. Is it each week as well?
Every week someone's going to win a jersey who watches Tripod all this, so people can
NRL
throw in comments.
Jerseys. That's awesome, bro. And we're also each week going to have a special market. We're brought to you by TopSport. So we're going to have a special try scorers market for you guys to jump on, which is going to be pretty juicy as well. So if you need to sign up and you haven't, please do so using the Tripod promo code.
And we appreciate all your support, guys. So share your comments because you are live. We can interact as many as we can. Give us a like, give us some friendly feedback, review all those nice things. But let's get straight into it. I've got the most simple of simple questions to begin, Tim. I want to know how you won last year.
Well, man, look, to be honest, I probably had a little bit of luck, but I just watched a lot of footy. I sort of made good decisions on the run. I didn't get everything right, so I just sort of stayed there, hung in there and played the long game. Ultimately, I think that there was a lot of changes last year to the game with this game speeding up and things like that, and I was able to just sort of adapt quickly and make, you know, good decisions based on this, what I was seeing. So, look, I'm no genius, so anyone can win it. So I encourage you to, you know, get involved. I think you've got just as much chance as I do, Winnie.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love it, so I'm going to give it a crack, and I'm not going to have much time to dedicate to it. So my chat with you is going to be my guiding light, and I'm just going to spend minimal time on it, as, you know, not everyone has the luxury to apply themselves to the level that you do, but that's okay. You're going to share with us what you can from as a result of all your hard work. The very first question that I was faced when I downloaded the app today, and most people are, how do you pick a 25-man team? Like, where do you even begin? And obviously, you've got a salary cap to contend with. Can you give advice on how to fill out your roster?
Yeah, well, for me, I sort of start with really important key positions like fullback. I fill that up straight away. Then I look at, other people that have really impressed me from last year that I think, you know, are kind of people I really want to start with and plug them in. Then I've sort of taken into consideration a lot of the cheapies and lower price players that are emerging this year that, you know, might get some good minutes to start off the season and fill them in. And then around the rest of that, plug in the rest of the gaps like a, you know, a bit of a jigsaw puzzle.
And how important is nailing that first team? Like, can you recover if you don't pick the best team or the people that always have success at the end? Was it always the foundation of picking a really good opening or opening squad into round one?
Yeah, look, if you don't have a terrible, if you don't have a great round, round one, it's not too bad at all. The only thing is, you know, you want to try and not be too crazy with your decisions. You don't want to have too much of a unique side. It's good to have some differences and what we call pods, pointer differences in your side. But if you've got some players that, you know, generally are known to underperform and you've got too many of them, it can be hard to try and catch up. But look, you've got plenty of trades throughout the season to sort of correct the things you've got wrong and sort of get in the guys that are sort of playing really well that you haven't got.
And speaking of trades, as I understand it, unlimited trades up until round one. So you can chop and change. You can pick a team. I've picked a team that I'm going to reveal tonight and you're going to critique it. Luckily for me, I can just change that. And then I pick my team before I even spoke to you. So it's absolute nuffy rookie team as you can get. And we're also going to show your team so far. But can you give a bit of advice for, like, when you did pick your side, who are the must-haves? Who are the guys that you non-negotiable, they've got to be in your lineup?
Look, to just start the year, I don't know if there is any must-haves just yet. Until TLT, Team List Tuesday, comes out, where all the players are named, there might be a few that stand out as must-haves. I think later as the year progresses, there'll probably be players in certain positions that will be must-haves. And that's players like, you know, Nathan Cleary, Tedesco, Pappenhausen, Turbo. I mean, you can't have all of them, if you know, depending on the amount of players you have in each position. But there's certain players that, you know, do stand out to me, like those players mentioned. Look, at the start, there's probably a few cheapies that I'd want to start with, you know, like the likes of Lachlan Ilias at halfback or 5'8". Also like the likes of Amon at 5'8", or you can pick him up in centre or centre wing position. They're probably also Tyler Randall. Probably those three cheapies are ones that I think that are kind of must-haves.
As you're speaking, I'm going to throw your team up on the screen so people can actually get a look. And my next question is going to be, when you're filling it out, obviously you'd love to have everyone, but there is a salary cap. So while you want to get some stars, you also have to grab some of these minimum or low salary guys. So can you share any strategy or how many of your roster do you fill with these kind of bottom dollar players?
Well, I've brushed over it this year and I've worked out that I've got 8 basic bottom dollar rookies, which is sort of like 175 to 205K. I've got 6 players that are sort of still very low price that are 220K to 320K. There's 4 sort of mid-rangers at 400 to sort of 575K, and 6 players that are sort of 595 to just under a mil. So, look, it's all about balance. You're going to need to get some players that are going to make some money for you throughout the year. You do want some players in key positions that are going to be scoring well to start off the year as well, though.
And you already mentioned a couple of guys that you would suggest at that minimum price range as well, which everyone needs at least a few in their team to make the salary cap work. What position, is there a position you prioritize? Like, is there, out of all the position groups, one where you would spend bigger, where as opposed to others where you might try and fill out with serviceable guys?
Yeah, 100%. That's fullback. I wouldn't get any cheapies in the fullback position. I'd get, you know, 2 of the best. If you can't afford Turbo, which I'm not going with Turbo, I'm going with the second and third best options from last year, which is Pappenhausen and Teddy. Those guys are very consistent and I'm, you know, pretty confident in them. So, yeah, fullback's important.
Right. Whereas I've filled out my team and it starts with like the hooker and forwards and I got to fullback last and I had to pick 2 fullbacks and I only had 300 grand left and Turbo cost 1.3 million. I said, oh, hang on. Yeah. I might have to adjust this. And I'll put my team up in a second. But what about all these players that are classified dual position? Is there any strategy among that? Like, sure, can you game it and end up having a team that's got like 10 second rowers? Or is there certain positions that's a position of strength that you want to take advantage of guys that are eligible in that spot?
Yeah, so you've got to only, you know, be able to plug the positions that they say they're available in. So if a player's available in a center wing or they're available in second row, you can plug them in either of that. But you can't just chuck them anywhere you want on the field. But look, the thing I find handy is, when you can get players that are dual position center wings and fullbacks. Now, if they're playing fullback in the NRL, but you can actually plug them in at center wing, they're really juicy because fullbacks score great. So, for example, players like that are Sloan and the Hammer, Hammer Sofado from the Cowboys. I don't have them in my side at the moment. They might find their way in. Cobbo, I think, might start at fullback, so he's one of those. Last year there was Dane Laurie. He was for the Tigers fullback, and he, you know, we pretty much kept him in center winning as a cheapie, and he made a lot of money and scored quite well for us as well. So, yeah, you can be really handy, the duels, especially when coming to trades. It just gives you more options to move things around.
And last question, my team, to try not to laugh, but no one cares about my team really. So I'd rather you be brutal and just say what stood out to you in terms of what I got wrong. And I genuinely have never played Supercoach. I didn't really know what I was doing. I kind of maybe picked players I thought could have successful years, but what do you make of it?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you to start with the things that stand out that I, you know, quite like. I like AFB that you've got in the prop. I think he's a great handy option. Like, yeah, he's got great attacking in him as well. He's got a bit of upside for a prop. Bring it back up so I can have another look if you don't mind. Then cheers. Yeah, sure. I like Satilli. He was really good for me. But Satilli, you want to pick him up on matchup. If he's playing the harder sides, he doesn't score so well. He's usually good against, you know, the worst sides where he's scoring tries. Brendan Piakura, the cheapie, that's a good one you've got there. Down in the I like Lulawai as well. Good option for 5'8". SJ at halfback is not too shabby. I'd probably want to put him at 5'8", though. You've got your centers looking pretty good. But the one thing, let's go where I think you've made some mistakes and we probably need to fix that up for you. I wouldn't be having both Xavier Savage and Walsh. I'd maybe have, you know, one of them and someone else, but I'd much prefer to have Teddy and Pappy, or if you can afford a team that's got Turbo and maybe Savage and a bunch of others. But look, I'm not too sure that Savage is going to get the nod at fullback. We'll have to wait and see come teams list Tuesday for that one. But
that is big too, that like you said to me, it actually depends who gets named on Tuesday. So you even said to me, the team that we're going to put up for you tonight won't be your exact 25 going to the season. So you're going to always be absorbing new information. But I will take that advice on board and try and amend my team a little bit more, especially when you've got to captain somebody. It makes sense to at least have somebody that you can really bank on and spend top dollar on, where I maybe spread my funds a bit too thin. Let's switch gears. We've gone 13 minutes Supercoach. We're always going to end the show with a little bit of punting. So we'll kind of flip roles. What questions have you got for me leading into 2022?
All right. So basically, I've jotted a few down. I'm just going to bring them up if that's all right for you, man. Look, I'm a punter that sort of just makes decisions quickly right before the game and doesn't really put too much thought into it. Just goes to my gut real quickly. How does someone win long-term punting?
So I think price is really important. People try and pick winners, but getting a good price is as important. Other thing that I try and emphasize is if you know something, but everybody else knows it too, you don't really know anything, because we're betting into a marketplace. It's all about opinion. It's odds set by the bookies, and then it's bets that shape that are opinions of punters. So if you share the same opinion as someone else, it doesn't mean, like, if you've got a consensus opinion, it doesn't mean you never win, but it's very hard to win long-term betting the same as everybody else.
That makes sense. Yeah, fair enough. Is there any specific advice that you would give around, like, what not to do when it comes to punting? Is there any, like, weird things like don't bet on first try scorers or don't do this? Or,
I mean, for fun, like, bet on anything that you like, but if you don't think it's profitable, just have a very minimal stake that you don't really care. You know, it's not going to bother you or affect your day if you lose. By all means, bet first try score and stuff if it's fun. But think about it this way, again, kind of what I said before about not, you got to go against the grain, I think, to find the best value. You look at Joe in the street, who's walking along in the street, right? What's he back in this weekend? He's got Storm 13 plus. He's got a couple same game multis going, and he's got a bunch of anytime try scorers. He's got a few multis, and he's picked all the favorite teams again, maybe 13 plus. And he has had a couple of first try scorer bets, and he always likes betting the top sides against the bottom sides. Now the problem with Joe, he doesn't profit long term against the bookies. So question yourself: if I'm betting the same as what that guy in the street's probably betting, I'm not going to be beating the bookies long-term either. So where I've actually had success is more trying to find teams under the radar that maybe aren't on the surface level aren't good, but look, dig a little deeper, they actually are pretty solid. Or on the other hand, find the teams that everyone thinks are unbeatable and thinks are super strong, but sometimes teams can be overrated, and sometimes teams can have flat spots. And you've got to remember as well, if you follow Tripod, the type of bets I give out, often bet with the handicap. The handicap is a points head start. I can bet on any team any week. It's all about the number of points that you're going to get.
Yeah, nice. So I know you've just done like a season preview, and you like to find teams that are underrated, overrated. Can you like give us a quick team, like a quick summary of some of those teams you think might be overrated or underrated, and summarize that for us?
Yeah, I mean, so I'll skip straight past the top five, which everybody has. I think Parramatta is going to be much closer to that group than many people might think. I actually think they showed enough signs of life last year, revitalizing, snapped that Storm winning streak, very gallant in the finals when they weren't full strength. They pretty much returned every important player this year. And I think they actually will be really competitive and won't get hurt too much by rep rounds and stuff like that. Now, I also predicted a little bit boldly the Raiders to make the eight. They are my bottom eight side that I think can be very frisky and can be a bit of a sleeper. But literally today, the news about Fogarty, which is going to affect fantasy as well, maybe if people were going to pick him, or should I say Supercoach. You know, I had him making the eight, but it's that tight that maybe now they wouldn't. But I still would keep an eye on the Raiders. Some people might be expecting a disappointing season, but I could actually see them starting quite strong. I like that roster. And then here's an overrated team, which might surprise people, but I and Podonis on the Tripod agree with me. I think one of the most overrated teams in 2022 is the Bulldogs, who finished last year, because everyone thinks they're going to be significantly better based on the additions. But I don't know if it's all going to translate to a bunch of wins straight away. This team was by far the worst attacking team in the comp. And you're throwing Matty Burton in the keys and throwing him straight into the prime role in the halves. A lot of pressure on him to turn it all around. I know Addo Carr, you know, adds a little bit as well there too. And look, it's an okay roster. And in years to come, you know, maybe Baz can get him respectable again. But for it all to turn around this year, I'm not so certain. So I actually think the Bulldogs could be an overrated team. So that's just three teams I thought I'd bring up where I have a bit of a contrary opinion to the market, as opposed to the bookies don't get too much wrong. Most of the other teams, I think, are reasonably priced at this point in the season. But again, you can never be stubborn. You've got to be fluid. It changes every week. So that's what I do. I try and deep dive every week to find the best opportunities for that given week.
Sweet. Nice. I really like it, man. I really agree with you too on that Doggies one. I think the Coach Barrett looked really defeated in the, you know, comments he made after the last game, so in the trials. So we'll see how they go. I'd like to see them do a bit better than they did last year, though, for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good if they're more entertaining, but are they going to win a lot more games? I guess we'll see. If you're worried after a trial, then you probably do have cause for concern. All right, mate. We promised the fans we are under 20 minutes every week. So
it's been tough. Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up, mate. So look, if you want to catch some more from me, you can catch me also on the Supercoach Experience and also Supercoach Champions podcast. You can find both those podcasts on all platforms that are, you know, good for finding podcasts. You can also find Supercoach Experience basically on every sort of social media platform, and you can come across the Champions podcast on Twitter. So just give those a look up. Also, too, I've got a page on Facebook and also on Twitter myself, which is at the SC Lurker. So that's got the at the front of it. At the SC Lurker, and I believe you're just got your eggs in one basket over at Tripod.
They can find you. Yeah, whether it's audio, video, or a couple of social media pages, they can find me if they want to hear more, because I do a much deeper dive show every week, as you do hours of shows every week. But this show is just to distill it all down for, we're both a bit time poor, and this show is for those who are time poor as well. But that should do it, mate. So thanks, everyone, who tuned into the first episode. Let us know if you enjoyed it. Click us a like if you're kind enough. Mate, same time next week.
I'm a massive fan of Jacobs, guys. So get over and do check out the Tripod, because I've been following him for years. And, he's definitely helped me get my bets in the right direction.
Beauty, that's the wrap-up music. All right, thanks for watching, guys. See you next week.
Nice. Thanks, brother.